All right. Well, good morning. Good to have you here today.
Good to be here.
Amen. Well, we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 9 and 10 today. These next several lessons, we're going to go through more than one in a period just because of two reasons. Three reasons. One, there's a lot of information there and a lot of things you can look up and get real detailed about, and this study's not going to do that. We're just kind of looking at the major information and events just to kind of lay it out in your head how things are going to happen. I'm working on another series I'm planning on getting started pretty soon, so I want to get through what we're doing here and just, like I said, do the highlights. And also, the less time I spend on it, the less I have to worry about saying something stupid. So, I'm going to stick with the subject matter and just go there. So let's read together in chapter 9 and chapter 10. And just as previous to this, a prelude, we're talking about the seals that were being broken. Now we're looking at the trumpets, and as you read this, you're also going to see the woes in there, and just remember they're kind of synchronized together where you have the trumpet sounding a woe, another trumpet and another woe, the whole point of it is that this is a wrath of God being poured out. There's nothing, good on that's going to be going on through mankind in this time frame where God's punishment, or judgment, I should say, would be upon the earth and on man and on Satan, because that's how it was at the beginning with in Genesis, and that's why he has to complete the process of the judgment upon them. So let's just read these real quick, and we'll talk about a few things and highlight some things. In chapter 9, it starts out, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as a smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from it. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as of the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and for a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay a third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and a jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as of the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I saw, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein, that there should be time no more. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, and he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went into the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So it begins by seeing again the fifth and the sixth angel, or the first and the second woe. Then it pauses and shows us a few other things that are going on here before we get the next chapters where we see the rest of the events are going to happen. But as we study this, just remember, it's good to be saved. It's good to know the Lord. Because God has given us some things here to understand about the future and what's going to happen. And also, John is doing the best he can to describe what he's seeing. And there's a lot of different ideas that people put in here of what these creatures are and what's going on, and everybody has their own opinion about that. But it doesn't. That's not the important thing. The important thing is God's wrath is being poured out upon the earth because he cursed the earth. We saw that earlier, and we're going to see that a little later with the hailstorms and the seas and the trees and the things burning up and so forth and famine on the land and everything. But this here is the beginning of when we see wrath being poured out upon mankind, because mankind has to be judged as well. And now we're seeing that it's affecting mankind specifically. Before, of course, you had the famine and other things that were going on that people may have died because of the famine and because of the other things that happened. But the trumpets and the seals that were being shown to us were directed toward the earth and the curse of the earth. And so now we see mankind and the curse of the mankind has to be judged. And now we see these events that are going to happen. And later we're going to see the judgment upon the devil himself, because he was cursed as well, and he will get his just punishment and judgment as well. And so we see here that we see saw a star fall from heaven to earth and given him the key to the bottomless pit. Most people believe, like I do, that that was an image of Lucifer or Satan himself. You can look in Isaiah and Ezekiel to see those references. They're on your handout. But he gives him the key to the bottomless pit, which is another good reference for us to remember that Satan doesn't have ultimate power. He has some power. He has some authority over the earth, because that's what God granted him when he was here. And that's why he can roam around. He's not omniscient. He can't be everywhere, every place. He's not all-knowing like God is. But he has limited abilities. Even with that, he's able to deter and distract a lot of people and a lion, to the point where people believe everything he says. So, again, also remember, as we study in the next few chapters, what Satan is doing behind the background with himself, the false prophet, and so forth. And so we're going to look at that later. But here he's given the key to the bottomless pit, and he goes to open the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as if a great furnace. And any time you see any reference to a place of torment, or this isn't hell, by the way, it's just another bottomless pit, but it has a lot of references to what God shows. Anytime that has something wicked and evil, it's going to be a furnace, it's going to be brimstone, it's going to be fire, it's going to be those things that he shows us throughout the scriptures what it's like. And so we see this smoke arise, and then these creatures come out of there. Whether they're actual creatures or some type of spiritual creature, either way, they actually are attacking men and causing severe pain to the point where they want to die, but they can't die. And then he references here in verse number 4 that they are commanded, again, Satan may have had the key to bottomless pit and allow these things to come out and allow them to be upon the earth. But God has ultimate control, and he tells them, you know, this is what you're going to do. You're going to hurt only the men, not the grass, not the green things, not the tree. And God already took care of all that previously. He's saying you're going to hurt the men, and not all men, just the men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Why is that important? Well, because we learned last week, as we were talking about this, that people will be saved during the tribulation time. I believe, just like most people believe, that during the tribulation time, when his church is taken previous to for the wrath of God coming upon this earth, that the Holy Spirit's also going to be taken out of the world as well. If the Holy Spirit is taken out of the world and people are being saved after the fact in the tribulation time, God uses this mark, just like the beast uses the mark, because they all imitate. Satan's always imitating God. So God uses this mark to distinguish, so the angels and others will know, this is these are mine, these are not mine. And we have the Holy Spirit of God with us. That's what claims that we're sealed until a day of our redemption. We already have that seal upon us. But these people in the tribulation time will have the seal placed upon their foreheads if they trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yes, sir. Yeah, we kind of talked about that last week when you were out on vacation fishing. No, that's all right. You didn't hear me over in Arkansas. But yeah, that's what we believe, is that, and the scriptures point to that as well, is that those that had the opportunity to believe before the wrath of God pours out upon the earth, before the tribulation period starts, they heard the gospel but rejected Christ. If they're still here and alive during that time frame, they're not going to accept Christ then either. I think the Bible tells us those scriptures that how their mind is going to change to be even more against God than see their error of ways and repent. But we do see people that hear the word of God through the 144,000 that we talked about last week that go out to the preach the gospel. And I think a majority of these that are going to be saved are going to be Jews. But it doesn't say that. It just says they're going to go out. They are Jewish that do go out and they preach the gospel. And they're going to, God still leaves a testimony here, even though he takes his church out, takes his spirit out. The word of God's still here. He still has people preaching the word of God and they can still be saved. And last week we talked about those souls that were mentioned in chapter 8. Around the altar. Those are those that have been saved but martyred for the name of Jesus during this same period. So we see that these creatures are being out. They are attacking those that do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they're not to kill them, but they're to torment them. There's that word torment again. Every time you hear references about the bottomless pit or something wicked and evil, or hell itself, there's torment involved. And torment just means torture. It's a painful time where they will be seeking death. It says in verse number 6, men shall seek death, but they shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. This is what my reference to a while back was to the only time you're going to see what we may call zombies walking upon the earth. They're going to be those people who want to die but can't die. And they're in such much torture and pain, they're wishing that they could die. And they'll find any way they can to try to die, but they won't be able to die. They'll still live on, even though they'd like to be dead. And those things it says here, shall men seek death and thou shalt not find it. And verse 7 said, the shape of the locusts were like horses of battle. John's trying to explain what he's seeing. A lot of different interpretation if these are something different other than creatures, but we're going by what the scriptures say. And this is what is coming out of the bottomless pit. Whatever that is, it's not good. And it's going to be a bad thing for those who don't trust Christ. And so he mentions what they look like in verse 7, 8, and 9, and 10. And then he says they have a king over in verse 11, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is Abaddon and Polion. And it tells us that one woe is past, which was the fifth trumpet. And then he mentions the sixth angel sounded in the second woe. And we'll see the seventh trumpet and the third woe later. And it says, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month. These people, these angels were there for one particular reason, and this is what they're supposed to do. And so when they, this is the day, this is the time, this is the hour. And they are to slay or kill a third part of men. But we know previously, in the last couple of chapters, that one-fourth of the population was killed because of the first seals that were broken. And I don't know. I meant to look it up beforehand, but then I thought, well, I'm going to have to do the math, and that's going to get me in trouble. But I don't know what the world population is right now. Does anybody have any idea what it might be?
5 billion.
5 billion? Okay, let's say it's 5. Let's say, is it 5? Let's say 6 billion. That's a little easier to do the math. Okay, let's say 6 billion. So 1/4 of 6 billion is what? 2.5? 1.5 billion? So 1.5 billion people die. And I mentioned these statistics also earlier, maybe a couple of years ago, when we're talking about how many people died in all the wars. And the Civil War through, Korea and Afghanistan and so forth. And I don't think it was 1.5 billion. I think it was a lot less than that. But it was, I remember, it was hundreds of thousands. But so we're talking about 1/4 population. Yeah, that's like, that's, we've never seen that. And if you think about all the people dying during this period of time, and somebody else having to dispose of all the bodies and stuff, it probably doesn't get done right away. And that's why you're going to have a lot of other problems because of that. But now we're here looking at, again, this time, one-third of the people died. So now we're left with, what, four and a half? So one-third of four and a half is what? A lot. Maybe 1.25 or something. Yeah. So 1.25 plus the 1.5, so that's 2.75 billion people, almost 3 billion. And we said the population was about 6 billion. So that's roughly half of the Earth's population is going to be dead by this time. Within less than 7 years. This is, in my opinion, still around 3.5 so years. We haven't hit the second half of the tribulation yet, in my opinion. So still, whether it's 7 years or 3 years, that's a lot of people to have died in a few-year period. So that's what we're looking at in worldwide. And so he says here that one-third of the men and a number of the army, he says, that's raised is 200 million. And again, people will speculate where they're from. It doesn't really matter where they're from. It's just the point of it is that there's 200 million people that rise up, and they have these breastplates of fire and brimstone again and so forth, and heads of horses were as the heads of lions, and the mouths issue of smoke and brimstone. And these were these three was the third part of men killed. And by these three, I'm sorry, were the third part of men killed by fire and by smoke and brimstone issued out of their mouths. And so he said, well, whether that's a real creature, or some people say it was some nuclear weapon or something, the point of it is that almost half the population of this world is going to be dead because of whatever this thing, these things are that have been released from the bottomless pit. And so it says, for their powers in their mouth and in their tails, and they're like serpents, and the heads with them when they do hurt. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works. So here we again see that those that are left behind, you might say, those that are still here, will not repent from their works. We'll see later in another chapter that they're actually going to curse God and blame him for everything, because that's what they do now. I mean, I've talked to you a little bit about that before, just so you can have a little idea how sometimes you have to, how you can be sensitive to people and what's going on. But a lot of people who have issues that may have been tried to reach with the gospel earlier, and maybe you witnessed to them or somebody did, maybe they came to church a few times or whatever, but they never got saved. And then they get out and they still continue to live their life, and things go wrong in their life. The first thing that they do is blame God for them. God caused these problems. How could God love me like the guy said in church and stuff and still allow these things to happen to me? They want God to do everything for them, but they don't want to do nothing for God. But they turn their back on God because they heard a little bit about him. Enough to say, that's who I'm going to blame when things go wrong. And that's what they're going to do in this time too, Brother Joe. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. They have the opportunity. They're hearing the gospel still even during this time, throughout the whole tribulation period. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. It's that choice. That's right. And it says they will not. Why? Because they like what they're doing. The works of their hands, it says. They like what they're... Anytime, you know, when people are deep in sin, it's because they want to be there. And then after they're there, even if they see the errors, they say, oh, I wish I was out of this, like all the addictions and everything. That doesn't mean they're going to get over it overnight. It's hard work, because you've already got yourself and your body and your situation in a predicament where you enjoyed the works of your hands. And it says here, it points out some things that they should not worship devils. And, of course, you know, again, Satan's in the background putting on his... getting his false prophet and everything in place so that he can be in charge and everybody's going to be worshiping him. And the idols of gold and silver, brass and stone and wood, which the same description is given to us in the New Testament about how we should not worship these things. Neither can they see nor hear or walk. neither repented they of their murders and their sorceries. And that word sorceries is where we get our word pharmaceuticals. And nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So you have these people here that enjoy their drugs, enjoy their fornication, enjoy their adultery, enjoy their murders and their other things they're involved in. They enjoy the works of their hands. And so they don't want to be judged. You know, they're the same ones that talk to you and say, well, who are you to judge me? You know, your life is messed up as mine. You know, they're always trying to make us look like we're just like them. And so maybe our past was, but that doesn't mean we still are. But that's how they see it. And so when God begins to judge the people and begins to turn the wrath on the actual mankind itself, and not just nature and grass and the, you know, on the earth, but that's when people are still not going to repent of what they're doing, not going to change their ways. So then chapter 10 begins talking about another mighty angel that comes down from heaven and clothed with cloud. And because of the descriptions that are given here, many people believe, like I do, that this is Jesus himself, even though it doesn't say that. But the same descriptions of him here in chapter number 1 are given. And it says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed in a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, that same rainbow we saw around the throne of God. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as a pillar of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set in the right, his right foot upon the sea and his left upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice like a lion. All these descriptions are descriptions of the Lord Jesus. And when the seven thunders uttered, he was about to write, and he told them not to write those things. Well, why? Well, we don't know why he couldn't write them, but what we do know is things are still going to happen that we are not able to handle, to know about. And God is going to have these things happen, but he just doesn't allow us to know about them. For whatever reason, they're still going to happen. But just like we see later, you know, in at the end of John, it says a lot of things are that Jesus did that these books, you couldn't write enough books to say everything that Jesus did. But what we do see is exactly what God wants us to know. You remember the Bible, the entire Bible, is God's revelation of himself to mankind. He's revealing himself to us that we may know him. But he's not going to tell us everything. He just tells us what we need to know in order to have a better, closer relationship with him. So there's some things that are going to happen. Another basically what we would say right now is a prophecy of things to come. He can't write those things down. And it says that he lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth on ever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein and earth and all the everything. He says, but that time should be, that there should be time no longer. Well, that word time actually means delay. So it's not like he's getting rid of time itself where they won't be day and night. That's not going to happen until we have a new heaven and a new earth. And we won't need the sun, the moon, the stars. We dwell in the presence of God. He is our day and our light. But what it does mean is there's not going to be any delay from this point forward. Everything else is going to happen rapidly, more rapidly than it did before. And it says, but in the days of the voice of the seven angels, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And this is what he's finishing. This is his judgment upon the earth, mankind, and the devil. And he had declared to his servants, the prophets, and the voice of him which heard said, go and take the little book. And the little book basically represents that prophecy, even the word of God today, how it can be sweet and bitter at the same time. As we read God's word, it's wonderful to know about God, but then we learn who we are. It exposes us and our, you know, sinful nature, which makes it a little bitter. What John was going to find out about what was going to happen and what the seven thunders uttered and what was going to happen was a little bitter because he knew what was going to happen to mankind, though he knew the sweetness of it was God's perfect will and perfect judgment. And so he tells us here that it's going to be sweet but bitter to the belly. And he said, thou must prophesy again before many people, nations, tongues, and kings. Every time the prophets would prophesy, they always had basically two things to tell the people. Thus saith the Lord, if you do right, God's going to bless you. If you don't do right, he's going to curse you. And we learn that those same things today as preachers and teachers of the Word of God. Anytime that we testify, even time you want to witness to somebody, you got to give them the good news and the bad news. That's the only way. They can't be saved unless they know the good news and the bad news. And they got to know that they're a sinner and they got to repent. And they're gonna, if they don't, they're going to go to hell. But the good news is God gave them a way out. And so we want to teach people and preach people the gospel. We have to be that messenger, just like the prophets were. Giving the messenger, you give them both sides. You tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So that's what we're supposed to do. So John here is telling them, is finding out when he takes this book that it is, just like they said, sweet to mouth, but bitter to the belly. And so as we look at a few other chapters to try to finish up Revelation next few weeks, we're going to see, of course, more things that are to come that haven't developed yet. They're going to be even greater than what we saw. And that's why it's, a lot of times they say it's the tribulation, first three and a half, great tribulation, last half. But just because of the events and the things that are going to happen, it's going to be even more enormous and crazy. But that's what God has in store. It has to happen. We know it hasn't happened yet, obviously, but it will. And again, just as, you know, let you know ahead of time, just remember that there's going to be, when we study, there's going to be people that are going to be prospering, doing well, excellent during this time, and they're gonna give glory and praise unto their new God, you know, which would be, you know, Satan, his false prophet, prophet, the beast, and the other one, Antichrist. Yeah, so he has his three just like God. And they're going to be in charge of bringing together the one world government, one world religion, and so forth. While these events are happening, and people are dying, and happening in the ships, and the seas are turning into blood, and stuff like that, they're going to be profiting from that because of the things that are going on. They're actually going to be profiting. So there's going to be a lot of good, and they're going to give all that praise to Satan because of what he's doing. And then that's when we see then that God is going to bring that judgment upon Satan himself as well, and take care of death and hell at the same time. So that's kind of just lay out in your mind, kind of figure out what's going on. Because sometimes you start reading Revelation, you start thinking it's doomed for everybody. It's not doomed for everybody. It's doomed for a lot, almost 3 billion people. But there's a lot of people still here, and there's a lot of people who are still going to be prospering and giving the glory to Satan instead of God, and worshiping the wrong things. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we have here today. I ask that you'll bless our worship service for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.